Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Tuesday, August the 28th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the big book and we are on page 101, the second paragraph, starting with the second paragraph, in our belief, any schemes, reading through two paragraphs ending with tempting providence, but it isn't, and the comments will be on both paragraphs. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Matt M., The 12 Traditions, Susan R. Readers of the text are John K., Robin P., and Sherry K.B. The share ID for Monday, August the 27th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time, is 11,838-11838. And for Tuesday, August the 28th, the 7 a.m. meeting is 11,841. That's 11841, and our newcomer greeter will be Melanie C. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Matt M. to read the 12 steps.
Mo, can you hear me?
I can, Matt.
Thank you. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. This is Matt M., compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Here are the steps as adapted for Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so will injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt M., and I will now ask Susan R. to read the 12 traditions.
Thank you. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for letting me share and do service.
Well, thank you, Susan R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page 101, starting with the second paragraph, In Our Belief, Any Schemes, reading through two paragraphs ending with Tempting Providence, But It Isn't. And I will now ask John Kay, whose birthday was yesterday, to start us off.
Thank you, Mo. Thank you, Team Tuesday. My name is Sean Kiernan, recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. In our belief, any scheme of combating alcoholism which proposes to shield the sick man from temptation is doomed to failure. If the alcoholic tries to shield himself, he may succeed for a time, but he usually winds up with a bigger explosion than ever. We have tried these methods. These attempts to do the impossible have always failed. So our rule is not to avoid a place where there is drinking if we have a legitimate reason for being there. That includes bars, nightclubs, dances, receptions, weddings, and even plain ordinary whoopee parties. To a person who has had experience with an alcoholic, it may seem like tempting providence, but it isn't. I always love that whoopee parties thing. I say I'm an AA and OA, so I avoid whoopee parties and whoopee pies. This is one of those things. I mentioned it yesterday that I quote a lot of times when people ask me, "Oh, should meetings not mention specific foods?" You know, and I always paraphrase that line and say, "Any scheme to shield us from temptation is doomed to failure." And I think another reason, just, and I'll get off of this in a second, that it tells newcomers, food has no power over us anymore. We can talk about these things. We aren't white-knuckling anymore, you know. And it also gives newcomers hope, you know, that while their abstinence may be a little difficult right now, if they're going through the early days, it will get easier. You know, if tempted, you will recoil as if from a hot flame, you know. But I also say sometimes when I'm reading this at a meeting, you know, this is one of those places in the Big Book where the words don't exactly food, you know. It reminds me of that line in, I think it's 134, where it talks about, well, use chocolate if you're having a problem. But shielding from temptation for food, forget about it, you know. You know, it can't be done. It is ubiquitous. If we do not have a spiritual awakening, I can walk out of a meeting and hit 5 temptations within, you know, a block. And I'll tell the story that, my mother was 35 years without a drink before she passed away. But I wouldn't call her sober. She did come into AA, and she was there for a while. But she stopped, and she did not have any kind of recovery that I would want. I love her, but she didn't. And part of it is she came to AA for a little while, she stopped, but she had hard enough of a bottom. She didn't have to be around booze. She didn't go to bars. And, you know, she died without drinking for 35 years. But we don't have that luxury. Food is there every day. And if we don't find some kind of a transformative thing, you know, it'll be a constant day in, day out struggle, and none of us can keep that struggle up forever, which is what that paragraph says. You know, but if you can find that higher power, like it does on page 45, to help you with your problems, a lot of this changes. You start to not believe what I always say, the words of the salesman. I always talk about the disease being a salesman who makes it makes us erase the thoughts of the bad things and only remember the good things that happen. And with some recovery, it actually flips around. And we realize, you know, we don't have to do that anymore. And there could be loads of food. It could be Christmas time, and I'm in the office, and they're backing the truck up with goodies. It's not my food. You know, just like this purse is laying there in the office, I don't go in and grab money out because that's not my money. And, you know, thank God this is through spiritual awakening as a result of this book. Otherwise, I would be in a constant white knuckle, and nobody can keep that up forever. And I just tell that to newcomers to realize it's easy for me now, but for it to be easy for me, I had to go through the part where it was hard first. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, John Kay. Just to remind everybody where we're at, we're on page 101, starting with the second paragraph, in our belief, any schemes, reading through two paragraphs, and ending with tempting providence, but it isn't. And I will now take names for those who'd like to share.
Dorita P.
Wendy M.
Wait a minute, I got Dorita P. And who was after you, Dorita?
Wendy M.
Wendy M. And then there was somebody else?
Carrie S.
Oh, two of you together, one of you at a time.
Marin K.
Marin, I got you, Marin.
Robin P.
Robin P., got you.
Paula D.
Paula D. Do a couple more. Anyone else? All right, we'll go with that group. Dorita P., Wendy M., Marin K., Robin P., Paula D. Dorita P., followed by Wendy M.
Thank you, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. Hi, my name is Dorita P. from Cleveland. Someone is unmuted. My name is Dorita P. From Cleveland, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm just really grateful to be here. I wasn't going to come on a meeting, and I'm just so grateful. You know, it's nothing but the disease. You know, the disease told me, you know, well, I need to go take a shower, and I need to do this, and I need to do that, but I need to be on this meeting. You know, that's what I need to be doing. Okay, so, yeah, so it says here, you know, so our rule, you know, if we have a legitimate reason for being there, and not only do they put that in italics, but they're going to say it again in the next paragraph. So, so that's what I need to ask myself when I go anywhere. And then I think a paragraph after the next one is going to talk about, you know, are we in fit spiritual condition? And so, you know, not only do I have a legitimate reason for being there, but am I in a fit spiritual condition? And if not, you know, stay home or go somewhere else and work with another alcoholic. And I'm just really so grateful for this program and for all the tools I have learned, because I have all these tools and all these things to think about before I pick up any food, you know, that's unhealthy for me. Where before, you know, I had no thought, I had no pause, I had no defense against the next compulsive bite. So, but now I do. I have a lot of things to do. I have a lot of people to call, and I'm just really grateful. And then lastly, I'll just say, I don't know what a whoopee party is, but it sounds like someplace I would really want to go. So I'm just really grateful. So if you guys want to have a whoopee party, let's have one. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Oh, good to have a laugh. Thank you, Dorita P. Wendy M., followed by Marin K.
Yes, good morning, Wendy M., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Thank you, Mo, for your service today and everybody on the line, and I thank God for my entire abstinence this morning. So I love the word scheme, right? Any scheme of combating alcoholism, I love it. So I have lots of schemes, right? Like I came into this program, scheme, scheme, scheme. When I get scared, I have a scheme, right? Like how am I going to get out of this? How can I combat my fear? How can I combat these things? So it says scheme of combating alcoholism. And what that means is that the sick can't fix the sick, right? Like my sick mind cannot fix my sickness. It can't do that. I need you guys. I need God, right? And anytime I'm trying to battle something, it looks like I'm trying to fix it. I can get rid of this defect. I'll just battle it, right? And the more, and I have to say something too to the newcomer right now. I'm entirely abstinent. I have complete neutrality. I can go anywhere on the planet and be fine, right? My addictive food, my alcoholic ingredients are cardboard to me. That is grace. I have grace. I can walk a free man, a free woman today. So I just want to put that out there that you can do the same. And that neutrality comes instantly within days of being entirely abstinent. So I just want to put it out there. I can go to any party, any buffet, anywhere. It doesn't matter anymore. I'm completely free. So I just want to put that out there. But if I'm scheming, I'm running the show, right? I've got this. And I'm so in trouble. And it says here, like, I'll figure this out, right? That's what this is. I'll combat it myself. I can do this. And the minute I go to, I have no idea how to do this. I'm going to set aside what I think I know. Only God knows. Only let God lead, right? Follow God. Let him lead. That's when the relief comes. When I realize I'm scheming, that's the change of perception. That's the miracle of the program. So it's okay that I scheme. It's that I can see that I'm scheming, and I have that change of perception. That's the miracle of this program. And then it also says legitimate reason for being there. Absolutely. And that's not just with food, right? Like, why am I talking? In this conversation with this person, why am I talking? Or what's my motive for sending this text? Or what's my motive for making this phone call, right? What am I doing here? And if it's because I'm scheming or I want some effect or I'm trying to get something from you, that's not going to be okay. That's not a reason to go to that party. That's not a reason to send that text or make that phone call or to tell you what I'm about to say, right? What am I after? And so that's I feel like that's what they're saying here is what are we after, right? And the last thing I want to say is when I go to a party, I get to feast on people. I've probably already eaten my meal. Maybe I bring my piece of fruit or my, you know, iced tea or whatever it is. But the point is I'm there and I get to engage and be with God through people. I get to love people deeply. You know, we're either in fear or we're in love, right? And fear is just a request for love. That's all it is. So when I'm in fear, I get to accept it deeply. I don't have to combat it. I don't have to scheme it. I don't have to figure this out. I just get to realize that it's a request for love. And all we're doing here is loving. So when I go to the whoopee party, I get to just love fiercely. I get to do that. And when I'm loving fiercely, I'm with God. I'm one with God. And that's all God wants. It's so simple. It's so simple. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy M. Marin K., followed by Robin P. Marin?
Hi, thank you, Mo. Can you hear me?
I can, Marin. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody who shared. I like these paragraphs because in my early abstinence, I had to go inpatient. I couldn't stop purging and starving outside of OA. In OA, I had to go inpatient. But I had the steps and I had my sponsor, and it wouldn't have been without the steps and my sponsor, I never would have recovered because I had been in and out of hospital for 8 years. And so the sole reason for my abstinence and sobriety with food is due to the 12 steps and the big book and outside help. I have 24 years of not doing the purging and starving. I do have issues around some compulsive behavior. I like how it talks about a scheme of combating the alcoholism, which proposes to shield the sick man from temptation, is doomed to failure. I've tried so many ways to try and stop things by trying to put myself places where I won't have them. I've thrown things out of my house. But, you know, I am off sugar now about 7 months. And the 2 weeks that I was struggling, after two weeks, I didn't have any more of a struggle. And I can go to Starbucks. I can go anywhere, and sugar does not call to me ever in the market, nowhere. I never feel like I need to have sugar. So I just want to tell the newcomer on the line that do whatever you need to do to get better, but that the big book and the steps are absolutely imperative for getting better. And I need to just get back into the book. And I've gone many places, whoopee parties, bar mitzvahs, all that. Nothing ever steers me towards wanting to purge or binge or overeat. So thank you for letting me show.
Thank you, Marin K. Robin P., followed by Paula D. Robin.
Thank you, Mo. Thanks, everybody. I'm Robin. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. And wow, it's such a blessing to be on this phone line, I'll tell you. I was traveling and with, you know, really important motives and really good purpose. It's just I feel very comfortable when I'm home, and it's, you know, and it's just a real blessing to be home. You know, I'm used to my routines, and I find it more challenging to be on the road, and it's just, yeah, you know, it's doable, and I'm grateful, and I'm grateful for my no's and my yeses and taking care of myself. I just find myself just really grateful to be home. My food is very clean, and I live organically, and I'm a vegan, and, you know, it's just, you know, I notice that the food, it doesn't feel as healthy at all when I'm on the road, and so, you know, my body knows that, and so I get to just look at my motives, know that they were good, know that I was of service, and just I could feel that the nourishment that I get, it, you know, with my own food and shakes and things, you know, are just more comfortable for me. And I have a really sensitive body. I've always had a sensitive body. And I just, it's the way it is. So I just get to go to extra lengths to take care of myself, to nourish myself. And I'm so grateful. You know, I really noticed I was of service these few days when I was traveling, and that things would come out of my mouth that were a blessing to people. And also I got to receive blessings from things that I heard from people. So it's really true, you know, that no matter what I'm doing and who I'm with, and I still get to go back and take care of myself, you know, make sure that I'm meditating, make sure that I'm doing my self-care. And, you know, things feel like a bit of a whirlwind sometimes when I'm on the road, and it's just coming back to my center with God. And so I can go to bars, I can go to dances, receptions, whoopee parties, you know, everything. And still I get to make sure that I'm including my self-care and just still checking in and doing my prayers and meditating and staying close to my higher power and filling up on God as I'm giving service. And I'm really grateful because I noticed this trip how many times I said things that people were so grateful for, that I felt like a messenger on certain things that just happened to be. God was using me. And that's what happens with my recovery, that God is able to use me for good. And also people blessed me back. You know, I heard things. I was able to receive things that were helpful to me as well. So I'm very grateful. I have God bumps right now sharing this. So, it feels like important, and thanks so much. I'm about to go on the road again, so I just get to make sure that I'm taking really good care of myself and fortifying myself. God bless everybody in your recovery. Thank you.
Thank you, Robin P. Happy traveling. Just want to remind everybody where we are before we have our last share for Paula D. or our next share. We're on page 101, starting with the second paragraph, in our belief, any schemes, through two paragraphs, ending with tempting providence, but it isn't. And I'll call Robin D. to share, and then we'll take more names. Hello, Paula D. Sorry, Paula.
Apology accepted. I've done it myself. This would be Paula D. Currently in the state of New Hampshire, often traveling also. But that's not the state that we're interested in. This is a state of what is within me. That's the state I'm going to speak about. When we come to that state of recovery, and it says, And by the way, I'm reading a book about drinking, quitting drinking, and it says in the front, alcoholism is both a drinking and a thinking problem. Okay, we'll circle that one. Recovery can't take place without abstinence, but abstinence alone is not recovery. Well, see, I'm not alone because of the state I am in being recovered. And you know, I love the way it started. Any scheme, and Lord knows we know them all, of combating alcoholism, fighting, which proposes to shield the sick man from temptation, and wow, you hear the gavel go down, doomed to failure. You can't do it. This is the world we live in. It is a world of alcohol. It is a world of food. Forget going to the places. Go to the grocery store. Do you see that bakery section? Do you smell the bread? I mean, this is the world you live in. I don't have a reality break today. There was a time that I did have a reality break. I thought I could. And I definitely thought I should. Oh, so deserving, Paula. For what you go through here. And I didn't see that I was punishing myself even more. And then it came down. And as we read here, so our rule. Oh, there's a rule. You know, when you get a ruler and you go with a four-year-old, they love it. Because they put their pencil, they can make a straight line. Try it without the ruler. Not so straight. A rule for me is a guide. It helps me. Is not to avoid a place where there is drinking or eating. Oh, beautiful baby showers, showers, weddings. I mean, they all take place. That's life. If we have a, and this is it, legitimate means genuine. Do you have a genuine reason for being there? That's when my thinking takes place. So what are you thinking, Paula, of? What are you thinking of? You're thinking of the food that's going to be served? Now, I consider the food that's going to be served because I do advanced things. When it's going to be totally, you know, it's not acceptable to my body. Now, let me put this together. My body, my mind, and my spirit. When it's not acceptable, then it's not acceptable. I don't change the wording. I don't blur the lines. And then it goes on. To a person who has had the experience with an alcoholic, this may seem like tempting providence. Now, I'm going to tell you, do you not love this ending? But stay right there just for a moment. It isn't. It isn't. It doesn't close the door down. It opens the door. I thank you for this time that was given me to share. And with that, I do pass.
And thank you, Paula D. And we are now open for some more shares on those two paragraphs.
Mary D.
Mary B.
Bonnie M.
Up. Give me again.
Stephanie M.
Bonnie M.
Bonnie M.
Julie P.
Stephanie N.
Ginger C.
Julie E. B.
Julie E. B. Let's stop there. I have one that I missed in there. I have Mary B., Bonnie M., was it Sarit T., Stephanie N., Ginger C., Julie E. B. Who was after Bonnie M.?
Julie P.
Sarit?
Julie P.
Oh, Julie. Sorry.
Julie. Yeah, sorry.
Julie. I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, here we go. Mary B. followed by Bonnie M.
Thank you, moderator. Hi, my name is Mary B. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. It's a little bit garbled, but go ahead. Let's see how it goes.
Let's see how it goes. Well, first of all, happy birthday to the birthday boys. And I finally broke down and bought the Big Book Dictionary and Concordance a few years ago. And I looked up whoopee because I didn't know what a whoopee powder party was either. And here's the definition. Whoopee party, loud and festive occasion, merrymaking, celebration, merriment. So that's my 2 cents for today, and I pass.
Oh, thank you, Mary B. Bonnie M. followed by Julie P. Bonnie, you're on. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, I'm Bonnie M. from Arizona. Thank you, Mo, for your service, and to all those that are on the line for just being there. You know, I've been in recovery a long time, 30-something years, and I absolutely remember when I could not, I knew every bakery in town. I knew every bakery out of town as well, and within a certain amount of miles. And then I got in recovery, and, you know, for a while I still knew where all those bakeries are. And then I remember one day where I could walk in the bakery, and I didn't have to take anything. And then, you know, recovery, I kept working my recovery program. And then I remember when I didn't even notice the bakery. And I remember exactly where that was. It was down at Fisherman Square in San Francisco. And I was with somebody, and they noticed the bakery, but I didn't. And I could go, wow, you know, this is recovery. And as far as staying out today, of staying out of, you know, so-called slippery places, I too can go almost anywhere and be okay. My absence is good. But there are times when I have had a full day and I'm too tired, or I'm very tired, and I've got a commitment and it's important for me to be there, and I get concerned. And I have tools. And some, I have a coin that I carry around if I get concerned, and I have God to take with me. And I have people that go with me usually to some place where there is a whoopee party, and there is a whoopee party where I live about once a month. And but I've got resources, and all I have to say is, you know, I use them, and I use them to help me through. And I consider that part of the spirituality of this program, where we give away to others and we give our love and allow others to love us by supporting us. And, you know, I always have a telephone. And but it's so important to me that whenever I leave a situation that I have sort of prejudged that it could be a problem, that it's really important to me that that night when I put my head in the pillow, I feel really good about what, you know, that my creator has given me whatever I need to get through it. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Bonnie M. Julie P., followed by Stephanie M. N.
Hi, this is Julie P. Can you hear me good?
I can. Thank you, Julie.
Okay, good. So I want to say ditto to that last share. That's all what I was going to share, too. But anyway, the whole thing about, you know, being neutral, I've had abstinence and recovery before and then lost that spiritual connection and started eating again. And just like we've been talking all week as far as, or yesterday, about this spiritual connection, for me, I know that at first I have to watch those situations for sure, because I haven't got that connection back with my higher power. And until I really, and for me, it's on a daily reprieve, you know. And so I have to watch those situations, you know. I have to call somebody and let them know, hey, I'm going to a potluck. That's an open bar for me, you know. And so since I'm not fully recovered at this moment, and don't have that strong connection with my higher power, you know, I have to be careful of those situations. Not that I can't go. One of the things that was suggested to me is be of service, you know. If you're at a potluck, help clean up, help, you know, get things straightened out, you know, be of service and don't, you know, be concentrating on the food. I also go into another program where they love to have donuts and cake every meeting. And so for now, I can't go to that giant donut meeting just because I still have that obsession of the mind that those donuts call to me and I can't think of anything else, you know. But yesterday I was good, you know. I went to the meeting and there was some cake there, and I was like, you know what? I connected with my higher power. I was a service. I called people. I listened to the meeting yesterday, and I'm good. And I didn't think about that the whole time, you know. So for me, it's just like everything in the program, really. It's that whole 24 hours a day, that daily reprieve, connect with my higher power. And when I do that, I'm good, and I can go anywhere. So I have to remember that. I wanted to share so I could hear myself say that. I'm going to go to Zion and go camping on Thursday for the Labor Day weekend. And I'm looking forward to staying absent and feeling good about eating my food. So, and I thank everybody for being here on the line and helping me with my recovery. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Julie P. And Stephanie N., followed by Ginger C.
Hi, this is Stephanie N., recovered in Kansas. The part that was jumping out at me was the words tempting providence. And when I was first getting abstinent, I have six kids, and I knew that I couldn't just get rid of everything my family liked to eat, including my husband, because he's not a compulsive overeater. So, but I had to pack lunches and I had to cook meals. And so I listened to vision meetings while I did those things. And, you know, and I was in my step one and my step two, and suddenly, I don't know how it happened, but the compulsion to put the things into my mouth was gone. The desire was still there. And, but you know, if it was in my hand, it was going to my mouth, and that wasn't happening anymore. And so I felt like that was a gift from my higher power, that I was able to stay abstinent when I was working those early steps. And then after I had my spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, the desire went away. I had neutrality. I still wasn't, you know, the compulsion was gone, but the desire was gone too. And that was nothing short of a miracle. You know, and I'm neither cocky nor afraid, but I am vigilant about my spiritual fitness, because I know that if I'm not staying spiritually fit, then the desire will come back, the compulsion will come back. And so I do my nightly inventory, even on days that I feel like, oh, that was a really good day. I still do it because I know that there might be something there that I wasn't aware of, and God will reveal that to me. And I continue to press into God and the steps and reading my big book every day, and reaching out to others, working with others. And because I have to keep growing, I have to keep getting closer to my higher power and letting go of the selfishness that kept me in bondage for so long. And another thing it made me think of was that I have friends and family who are alcoholic, and I used to think that it was my responsibility at parties to not have that stuff around because I don't want to make them uncomfortable. But now I see that that was my codependency telling me that, and that I'm not in charge of their spiritual fitness. And, you know, I don't want to tempt them. I don't want to say, here, have this drink. But if other people who are not alcoholic are going to be at the party, then those things can be there, and it's between them and their higher power. And it has nothing to do with me, and I am not that powerful that I can control what other people are doing. I can't control their spiritual fitness, and I can't control any of that stuff. So it made me think of that as well. So anyways, thank you so much for the meeting and your service. I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie N. Ginger C., followed by Julie E. B. Ginger C., thank you. Hello, Ginger. Press star 1 to unmute.
I swear there are so many mute buttons. I have it on my headset, the phone. I don't know what I'm pushing. I'm like, I'm here, I promise. And one day, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, I may figure that button out. Oh, my goodness. Thanks, Mo. Ginger C. recovered, compulsive overeater in Colorado. Oh, my God. Okay, so I am just cracking up, though, and this is just such a great sentence. In our belief, any scheme, which to me, a scheme is self, you know, my way, my will of combating alcoholism you know, I cannot believe the depths and the lengths that I went to try to figure out how I could be in OA and still have my cake and eat it too. And obviously it always failed. And one of my greatest schemes, and I was so excited about this, I was doing the Invisalign to straighten my teeth. And the doctor told me how I would have to wear these 23 of 24 hours in order for it to be successful. And I was like, oh my God, finally, I won't be able to eat. This is going to be great. I'm going to get straight teeth and I'm going to get skinny. I thought I had found God, you know, and of course, once I start, I don't stop. And what did I do? I totally ruined this whole process of straightening my teeth because I kept taking the trays out and eating. So, you know, I thought this was like my answer, the end all be all. And thank God again for every beautiful bite and how I finally got convinced that I am screwed when it comes to this food addiction. I'm going down south and it's getting really painful because that's what finally caught my attention, to put the fork down and to truly surrender like I had never surrendered before. And then I got into this practical program of action. It's not what I'm thinking, it's what I'm doing each and every day, and I cannot stop. I cannot stop. This disease is silent and sneaky, and it's just waiting patiently. But the gift is, if you do the deal, you get entirely abstinent. You know, I always had white-knuckled abstinence in OA because I thought I was clean. I didn't know barbecue sauce had so much sugar in it. No wonder I put, like, the whole bottle on my chicken breast. But when you really clean it out and you get clear, there's freedom, there's neutrality. I've almost been 3 years without food in my system, and I've been pretty, the obsession has been lifted. It's just really simple. Each and every day, it's 301, three meals, zero snacks, one day at a time. Wash, rinse, repeat. It just happens. I can go anywhere. I am a free man. Thank you, God. Because life is happening outside my door. And more importantly, if I'm fit spiritually, I have a chance of helping that person again in the quicksand. That needs to see the light, that's so in the darkness, that has no idea there's any hope. You know, this Sunday in church, we talked about anorexia. And the first mom that got up talked about how her daughter died 6 months ago. And that's the reality. You know, that's the reality. So if you're recovered, you have a gift, and I hope you never return it. Because so many are out there dying today, and they need your. And we have been so blessed to have been brought to this book that solves all my problems. It's my life manual for living. I never knew how to live. I was so spiritually maladjusted. I hated life. And now I love life. So thank God for recovery, and thank God for mute buttons. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Ginger C. Thank you for the laugh. Julie E.B., you're up.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado. It's great to hear your voice, Mo, and the other voices on the line, and for those who are listening. I was thinking yesterday and thinking again today, you know, the reason that we get together, purpose of our fellowship is for those who are still suffering with this disease. I suffer with compulsive overeating and undereating, anorexia, bulimia. I have recovered, and but if I were listening, still in the food, I just try and think about listening to all these people share. Like, I can go anywhere. I can go anywhere. I can go anywhere. And you know, the way I would have taken it is like, well, I can't. So I can't identify in. But the important part for me to share then this morning is that I had all these schemes. I spent hundreds of dollars on medically managed diets, on food, on eating, on clothes of every size, going up to 26W. I could not shield myself from temptation because my temptation wasn't just coming from life, as some have said, is doomed to failure, or from food, as people have said. It was coming from life, and life just seemed so acutely painful to me. And even though the food was a temporary stopgap, it just seemed like it was in my control, and I could do it. how do I live? How does this change? Well, it says we cannot shield ourselves. And so I go back to my favorite prayer that was part of my spiritual experience and awakening, that we ask for God's care and protection with complete abandon. And if you look at synonyms there, it's actually saying that our higher power can be our shield, our barrier, our buffer in this world for those acute and painful and paralyzing fears, and for those resentments and angers that would just wash over me as life just happened, and for that harm I was doing to those around me as I was raging or disruptive or sad, and couldn't function for my family or my workplace. When all those things would happen, I didn't have any barrier except what I thought was my barrier, the food. Well, now, through working the simple program of action, the simple spiritual toolkit, not having God all figured out at all, one day at a time, taking action and being recovered, I have a barrier, I have a buffer, I have a shield that protects me. So I don't have to chase a place where there's no food. I don't have to chase serenity. I live among three teenagers, and it is not quiet here, but from the inside out, I have peace. Thanks for letting me share, and keep coming back.
Thank you, Julie E.B. We have time for two-minute shares, if two people would like to take them.
Sherry K.B.
Nadia B.
Sherry, and who was the other person?
Nadia B.
Nadia, okay. Sherry, 2 minutes.
Okay, timing, Matt, please.
I will.
This is Sherry, grateful recovered compulsive reader in California. Thank you so much for your service, Mo, and everybody on the line. And, you know, just listening to everybody today, you know, my heart goes out to the people who are still suffering, because, you know what, you don't have to suffer. You can one day, if you want, join us on this broad highway, because we have been there, done that. I have been to parties where I've white-knuckled it. I've been to parties where I felt very free. But the answer is, because of the steps, because of connecting with a power greater than myself, that I can go to these parties. I can enjoy myself. If I'm not in fit spiritual condition, I don't go to the parties. Fit spiritual condition means, you know, having the food down, gone through the steps, recovered, connecting with God, aligning my will with my higher power's will. I can go anywhere and do anything when I do those things. If I don't do those things, then I need to stay away from those whoopee parties and those whoopee pies. And I just invite you to get a sponsor, get a step guide, big books guide, whatever you want to say. Get into the work, and you too can have this too. And if you're suffering out there, you don't have to suffer any longer. We're here. We want to help. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry. That was under 2 minutes. Okay, Nadia, you're on.
Thank you, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. Nadia B., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Connecticut. Shield me, myself, from food. I think someone said it already today. You know, food is not my problem. I don't have a food problem. If food was my problem, you know, once I became abstinent, all my problems would vanish, right? And therefore, I have to watch, you know, for legitimate reasons to be places. Am I in fit spiritual condition? Initially, I had to avoid many places that made food, you know, and even including my a place where I was born, you know, my grandma's food, watching TV, you know, if opera said bread one more time, you know, I thought my head would explode. But that's not why I relapsed. Why I relapsed is because I did not know how to keep fit spiritual conditions. And meetings are not treatment for compulsive overeating. Sponsors are not treatment for compulsive overeating. food plans are not treatment for compulsive overeating. What the treatment is, the book tells us, it's a spiritual experience. And how do we get spiritual experience is by working the steps. So how long is it going to take, Nadia, for you to have neutrality around the food? As long as it takes for you to get that spiritual experience. And today, you know, I know what fits spiritual condition is, because once you go through this process of 12 steps, you know what it is, what peace is, and you know what neutrality is. And once you lose it, you know that you're not there. You're not in the spiritual. Thank you so much. And, you know, today, thank God, thank the 12 steps that alcoholic food and alcoholic behaviors are not, you know, a trigger for me anymore. And that's the hope for all of us. But that all passed.
Well, thank you very much for all those who shared and all those who gave service on this meeting. We will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Robin P. please read a vision for you?
Thanks so much, Mo. May I be heard?
Yes, you are.
Oh, thank you so much. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great facts for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.